On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. All right, everybody, today's episode of the podcast is going to be another group episode. I'll have the guys introduce themselves and then we'll get going. So we'll go Goldie first, Tanner second, name, org, position in the org, and then we'll get rocking, guys.
Yeah, Goldie Simmons, currently serve as Director of Strength Conditioning for the Chicago White Sox. Just a little bit about myself, my journey. Been with the org for 8 years now. Prior to this, I was the performance coordinator for 2 years. Prior to that, I was at the affiliate level. Between rookie, advanced rookie, and A-ball in Kannapolis. So, yeah, it's been quite a journey before getting to this level. So,
Tanner Miracle, New York Mets assistant major league performance coach. We still call ourselves strength and conditioning coaches as well. I've been with the Mets. This will be my 8th season, first in this position in the big leagues. I've gone all the way from GCL to AAA the year before this one. Even met Goldie in 2017 in the Sal League. When he was in Kannapolis, I was in Columbia. So this will be starting up my 8th season.
So the theme today is just first year in the big leagues. I did this one last year with Adam Vish and Al Sandoval. I thought it went really well. The feedback was really good. And it was just, a look behind the curtain in the first year in the big leagues and some of the things that you expected, some that you didn't, and just all of it that goes into what is being a major league strength and conditioning coach. And so you guys have both kind of given us your journey to this position. How do you feel the positions before this and your journey to the big leagues prepared you for ultimately your first year in the big leagues in 2022?
I'll go ahead and lead us off. I think just going through, the several years at the minor league level kind of prepares you for, the grind, the daily grind of what's expected at the major league level. However, I don't think it prepares you for, the pressure, the intensity that is provided at the major league level. But at the minor league level, you do develop relationships. You understand the nature of the game in a professional setting. You get to know players, staff. There's a lot that goes into the day-to-day grind, which, gives you a little bit of a heads up before you get to the higher levels and ultimately into the major league level.
Totally agree. I think, making nearly every stop in the minor leagues, it kind of helps you to, gain a sense of where players have come from, and having been at every level, you know that ultimately the goal for them is the big leagues. And I think especially when I got to AAA, I really realized the kind of caliber of athlete that was similar to what we were going to be dealing with in the big leagues. And I think that helped me the most, as well as going to winter ball a few times and two or three big league spring trainings. I think all of that, compiled into one really helped me just kind of prepare for this position.
Had you guys been in the big leagues at all, even like September call-ups or anything before this year, or was it totally brand new this year?
Totally, totally brand new for myself. As a coordinator, you kind of get a dose of major league operations, in spring training. But for the most part, you're wheeling and dealing with player development on the minor league front. So we didn't really get that call for September to go up into the major league level. So it was more so just really honing in on what guys needed to do to prepare for the offseason on a minor league level.
Yeah, brand new for me as well. Hadn't experienced it prior to this year.
Gotcha. Yeah, we had a couple guys come up this year from the minor leagues at different times. And one of them was at Yankee Stadium was his first time. And I told him, man, this is the top of the top here. You're getting the full experience. And it was also when Judge was chasing the home run record. So just seeing him during the day and how big his eyes were at certain points and him going out in the dugout for the game and coming in and hey, are you sure you don't want to go out there? No, just enjoy it, man. That small glimpse in, I think is really, really beneficial. And I was just curious because in 2019, I had gone up for a week, and I kind of had an understanding of what things were going on. And like Tanner, you talk about like the caliber of player at the higher levels, but then your first year, when you get that full experience, you're like, okay, that little bit of time in the minor leagues, really, it didn't even matter. Like that week that I was there in the big leagues, cause this is totally different. Just traveling and like building those relationships and just the day-to-day with those guys. And Goldie, you mentioned like the intensity and the pressure, like it's totally different in the big leagues. And like, you think that you can grasp it, and like, even like getting a week up there and then compared to my first year, it was like totally, totally different. So it's cool to like see when we bring our guys up, like how they react to the day to day. And like, they think they get a good grasp of the schedule. And then like, when they move up, it's like, oh shit, like this is way different than even the little bit of time I got up there. So I was just curious, but if you guys hadn't had it before, like it's probably even more eye opening just to be up there and see all of that stuff. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you guys have advice for others that are either just getting into baseball and like have long-term ambitions of being big league guys, or like they're right on the cusp and like they're kind of, you know, they're close, but they just need to take one extra step to get there?
Yeah, I think for the guys or ladies that are taking the initiative to get into pro ball, and this is like going to be their first experience, I think, you know, just be where your feet are, soak it all in, understand the dynamics, you know, really get to know, you know, your staff, your players, you know, who they are, your organizational climate, things like that. Just really just be a student, you know, soak it all in. And then for those guys that are, or girls that are on the cusp of getting to the major league level, I would say just really hone in on the relationships that you've built, you know, use that as a platform to, you know, encompass and fully understand organizational desires and in terms of execution and productivity. But yeah, the big thing too is just understand the human aspect of the game. Like, don't forget that at the end of the day, we're all human beings and we all have needs and desires, and just be willing to advocate and be, you know, a service member to these individuals that are serving at the highest level.
I don't think I can say it much better than that. Honestly, Goldie hit it on the head. I think the big part that I picked up on and that I was going to talk about was just like the player rapport and how you do just daily work with guys. Because a lot of times when you're in the minor leagues, or say you're not in pro ball, really the work that you do on a daily basis with those guys is what matters. And especially when there aren't higher ups coordinators around, a lot of people will talk about the work that you did with them, if you were successful in helping them, or if you were consistent in your, you know, daily responsibilities. And I know, for instance, when I was in the minor leagues, you know, I send a guy up, he gets promoted. The first thing the strength coach asks him is like, hey, how was he? Most of the time they said, oh, he's great. You know, and, you know, getting with your staff as well. And the same thing applies all throughout, no matter if you're in pro ball or you're not. And the last thing I would just try to be a problem solver. Like, there's a lot of different things that we can't plan for. Like, this game is very spontaneous, and, you know, don't get too overwhelmed, you know, take a step back, look at it, try to critical solve. And that mixed with the player rapport, I think, are two big ones for me.
Yeah, I've been saying this a lot lately, solutions finder, not problem creator. I think a lot of like the day-to-day for us is like, people will come to us with the most outrageous things. And like, if we have an answer ahead of time, it's really good. But even if we can take the time to figure that answer out, right? Like something as simple as like, when you're on the line, like guys want to know what time the anthem is. And like, it never occurred to me in the minor leagues that anybody cared about the anthem time. And then in the big leagues, it's like, what time is the anthem? What time is the anthem? Because it changes every single game, it feels like, right? So guys have to work their pregame routine around that. And it's something that's such a minor detail, but to them, it's so significant. And if you have that like for them, they're like, boom, you're my guy. All right. Or like the opposite is like, dude, I don't know what time the anthem is. They're like, bro, you're useless to me. Right. Like it's probably dramatic. And in the heat of the moment it is, but you know, that's just the reality of it. I think all throughout the day, there's opportunities like that with the schedule, with the coaching staff, with the players, and just being ahead of those things, I think, really does help us. And then you guys mentioned just, you know, connecting with the players on a day-to-day basis in the big leagues. I always felt like I had good relationships in the minor leagues with guys, but in the big leagues, it's like a whole nother level. Just the way the schedule works, and like for us specifically, like we don't have a pitcher stretch time. It's very individualized when guys go out for throwing program and things like that. So it allows us a really good opportunity to work with guys one-on-one on just getting themselves ready to go out and just maximizing their throwing program each day. And so for me, like, the relationships are really, really important, just because there are days where the guys come in and they don't want to do shit. And if you don't have a relationship, like, that guy's just going to blow you off. But if you're locked in and you and that guy have a good working relationship, like, you can get more out of those guys than what they anticipate sometimes.
Absolutely.
Let's dive into this, your first year in the big leagues, and obviously there's a ton that goes into it, and, you know, we're playing 162 plus games. Just what adjustments did you guys have to make this year compared to previous years?
I think I'd say initially, you know, it was the adjustment to the pressure, the intensity, as mentioned before. And that ultimately seeps into these guys, you know, preparation, you know, how they go about their business. You know, there's a lot of guys who, you know, they have set routines, but that has to be adjusted and modified on a day-to-day basis. So just being prepared and ready for those, to make those adjustments for guys on an individual basis. Because as we know, like, timing is everything in the big leagues. Like you said, like, little things like knowing when the anthem is, or what time stretch is, and kind of anticipating things before that based on what guys need, was something, you know, to really hone in on, because as you said, you know, the anthem and things like that are very important at that level. Especially with, you know, there being, you know, TV production going on, like, you want to be out there, guys don't want to miss, you know, it's a reflection of the organization when guys aren't out there. So it's very important to understand the structure and timing of everything. And then the other thing on a personal note is I noticed, you know, there was just like, there's a lot of noise at the major league level, right? The media, the fans, there's so much going on. And, you know, it was really just blocking those things out, right? Like, trying not to dive too much into what, you know, people are speculating about, you know, especially when it comes to, you know, injuries and what's not happening, and losses and wins and things like that. You just really have to just stay dialed in. And like you said, just be a problem solver at any given moment. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be the first to admit, I think the first month of this season, I was just trying to keep my head above water and just kind of trying to figure out the ins and outs of things, how things were going. I mean, you got media in the clubhouse and they're swarming, you know, you have this big production and there's so many people, you know, in the area, in the clubhouse, and just trying to just keep your head above water and just keep doing the job, which we all know how to do, but blocking out that noise, like you said, Goldie, and really thinking about, you know, like, what's really important for this day, for the next 3 days, for this week. It's all about game time, right? And then the implications and potentially consequences, good or bad, of what you want to do with a player. Are they going to help him prepare, be prepared to play tonight? And I think we've probably all been on some teams in the minor leagues that might've gone on a few, you know, losing streaks, and it sucked, but it didn't feel as bad as it did when you're in the big leagues. And we probably still trained, and just rewiring your thought process about what is going to be important. And if it doesn't make sense, then come up with a different way to do it. And that really was the biggest adjustment, I think, for me, is just getting those guys ready one game at a time and having a thought process for the future, but remembering why we're here and what's important, which is winning.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. I think that's one of the big things. I would agree with both of you guys. The two things that in 21 in my first year that were really different were the media, you know, the pressure that comes with that, especially playing and, you know, being in Boston and just watching some of these guys just get absolutely destroyed on social media. It's really relentless here. And just like when we played the Yankees in the wild card game, just the amount of media that was on the field beforehand, it was just overwhelming. And I was nervous, right? Like, I was walking around like, oh my God, there's so many people here. And then I wasn't playing, you know what I mean? I wasn't doing anything that day. And just looking at some of the guys and just how calm they were. And I was like, man, I don't know how you guys deal with this pressure, but kudos to you. So that was a big adjustment for me. And then the other one, Tanner, you talk about like playing today and the importance of today. And in the minor leagues, it's a lot of development, right? Like, you want to win, you want to do well, but ultimately, like, the goal is to move those guys up, right? But in the big leagues, like, there's nowhere else to go. Like, you are up, right? So you have to find ways to keep them on the field. You have to find ways to keep them motivated and to perform and all of that. But ultimately, it comes down to today, like you said, and being able to play tonight, and the decisions that you make for tonight don't always align with the long-term picture. but sometimes you just got to do it. Like you have to suck it up, right? Like we play Sunday night baseball, we fly to, I don't know, Tampa or whatever. We get in at 5 a.m. Like we're going to play that day. And like ultimately what we have to do to get ready to play that day might not line up with what we need in a week, but like in a week we'll worry about that. Right. And you still try to plan for the immediate picture, the, you know, a week, a month, but you also have to make a lot of adjustments on the fly. And I think that was really a big adjustment in the big leagues that I saw in my first year as well. And then how about like in terms of just interacting with coaches and players, we've kind of touched on it already, just building the rapport and all of that. Do you feel like your relationships and the conversations you had were deeper with coaches and players in the big leagues? They were more important. They were more like, how do you feel the interactions were on a day-to-day basis with those guys?
Yeah, I'd say because of, you know, what we just talked about, the pressure and intensity, like the interactions and the conversations that you have with players and coaches were just that much more intense and that much more valuable because, you know, as you guys have stated, you know, every night means something, right? You know, you get to the end of the year and you look back and you say, hey, that one win could have got us into the playoffs. So every night matters. So those conversations that you have, you know, the rapport that you build with your pitching coaches, your other strength coaches, you know, your hitting coaches, things like that, and even your manager are important. You know, they're very impactful. They're very valuable. And the relationships that you build early on, you know, with your staff and your players are ultimately going to be important to getting your messages across. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think those relationships with players, you know, some of them you grow really close with and, you know, form stronger relationships because you talk a lot and you talk about what you're trying to accomplish, how you can accomplish it, what's worked in the past, what can we do going forward. And it's not as much, you know, at the lower levels of minor leagues, hey, we're probably just going to do this, you know, not to say that we're drill sergeants or anything, but you talk to the guys, how are you feeling today? What do you think about this? He said, I'm not really into that. What about this? Can we come together? So I feel like in a lot of cases, those relationships became very strong because of that reason. I know personally for myself, we have some staff with some serious time in the MLB. And I was coming in, you know, end of spring training, I got 4 weeks under my belt. And at first I didn't know exactly how I wanted to approach these guys. You know, I didn't want to come off across as some cocky new guy when they've been there for seriously 30 years. You know, in the end, every one of them turned out to be great and responsive. We had really good conversations. I asked them about what they do, you know, infield, outfield, pitching, catching. And that was kind of how I tried to form those relationships, was just ask questions, get a better gauge of what they're looking for. And then if we can, try and train some of those qualities. You know, if not, it just gives me a better idea of what they're trying to accomplish. And, you know, that grows the relationship as well.
Do you guys feel that players were more, like they had a bigger desire to understand why you were doing things in the big leagues versus the minor leagues?
I'd say yes, just because, you know, a lot of these guys are veterans, at least the team that we had, you know, guys had eight plus years in the major leagues and they were very accustomed to their routines, right? So when you wanted to add something or you wanted to include something that you thought could help, you know, them perform better, they wanted to know why, right? So it was very important to know why, to get certain things done or certain things implemented, because, you know, at the end of the day, you have to prove why things are important to you, important to their performance, and ultimately their upkeep. So yeah, I'd say definitely at this level, especially with the veteran guys, you know, being able to explain, sit down, give them the why behind what you're doing, and then ultimately at the end of the day, be able to show how this worked, you know, in regard to their performance so that they continue to do these things. So yeah, I'd definitely say why is a huge factor in getting things done at the major league level.
Definitely. I think you got to think about some of these guys' training ages. I mean, if you have, you know, 10 years in the show, you started in college or high school, like a lot of these guys are well-trained, you know, some of them aren't, which is fine, but, and they've probably seen a lot, done a lot, and they're curious as to how you can help them. And, you know, you can show them through objective data, you know, how they improved or, you know, even just subjective information. Yeah, I feel better. This has gotten a lot better. But generally guys want to know why, and it's not that they're trying to challenge you, but I do think they're generally interested.
Yeah, I feel like the major league level, there's so much data available to guys and players are very educated, and especially in terms of like trying to get better. And there's, you know, the hitting stats and the pitching stats and the like all the sprint speeds and things like that. And they come to us and it's almost like they expect us to have some sort of data to justify things as well. And I don't want to say the minor leagues feels like assembly line sometimes, but sometimes it's like you got to get, you know, 20, 30 guys through in a 30, 45 minute window. And it's a lot less like one-on-one or small group time or like valuable conversation, and a lot more just like check the box, check the box, check the box. Not always, but again, sometimes. And then, you know, the coordinators want you to do certain things. The front office wants you to do certain things. And so you have to really get all of these things, you know, nailed down, boxes checked in the minor leagues, where the big leagues, it's like, if a guy doesn't want to jump on the force plates, he's not going to jump on the force plates. Right. And it's like, there's just different repercussions in the minor leagues versus the major leagues. But the guy that doesn't want to jump on the force plates in the big leagues is still going to talk to you about finding other ways to be successful. I think that's something that, like, I really picked up on, was like, especially seeing, like, you guys talk about the veterans, some of these guys with 10 plus years in the league, just how they go about their business, but how they're still very, very hungry to get better, right? Like, they're already the best of the best. They've survived the test of time. And they're like, no, I have to hang on to this as long as I can. Like, help me get better. Like, I can't jump on the force plates, but give me something else that's going to help me, right? Like, is that kind of the same experience you guys had as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, if we look at the minor league level versus the major league level in terms of like motivation and willingness to get things done, it's a lot easier at the minor league level to get guys to, you know, jump on a force plate daily or do whatever it is, you know, to obtain objective data. At the major league level, yeah, there's certain things. These guys are a little bit older, a little bit more experienced. Certain things may be going on. So you have to be very, like, you know, find unique ways to motivate these guys to do it. If that's creating leaderboards, something like that, something to kind of challenge that competitive nature if they don't have something going on physically. But yeah, I'd definitely say that, you know, you find that they're very intrigued. And it's a very distinct, you know, dynamic between the minor league level versus the major league level and guys' willingness to get things done. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think we as strength coaches know multiple ways to train a different quality. So if guy's not up for one, you know, we're ready with another in the back pocket. And I think that, you know, the objective data is great, but, you know, for the same instance you're talking about, Chris, if a guy just doesn't want to do it, we can train other ways, and just being ready for that circumstance. And when that occasion does happen, just being ready, moving on the fly.
Yeah. And I think if you have those other alternatives for those guys, eventually they might be like, all right, you know what? I'll jump on the plates today. Let's see what we got. And then when they do, you have to have something ready to show them right away. Because if they jump and you're like, ah, I can't show you until later, they're like, dude, what was the point of this? Like, show me show me. But if you have something for them, right, then they're totally bought in, and it has to be easy for them to digest, easy for them to understand. Like, this is, you know, this is your jump height. This is this, that, that, and the other thing. Like, and it might not even be something that we really care about, right? But to them, like, oh, okay, I jumped high. Like, I'm good. And then it's like, well, did I jump higher than that guy? Well, no, he jumped higher than you. Again, we don't necessarily care about that, but yeah, he jumped higher. It's like, nope, we're going to do this all the time now. And then all of a sudden you can't get the guy off the force plates, right? So like, having those other options available and just having as many tools in the toolbox, I think really helps you to ultimately get the buy-in to like what you want them to do. Sometimes you just have to accept that they're going to come to it on their own terms. Sometimes they're not going to at all, right? They're just going to totally neglect what you want them to do, you know, in this area, but they'll pick it up in that area. So it's kind of a fine dance in the major leagues. And for me, I think that's a lot more enjoyable than sometimes just checking the boxes in the minor leagues. But that's just the reality in the minor leagues, right? The volume of players that you have moving up and down and throughout the system is, you know, sometimes, like, I don't want to say guys get lost in the shuffle or anything, but sometimes it's almost harder. And I will say this, our org added a second strength coach at each minor league affiliate this year because there was so much emphasis on like wanting to put, you know, physical development and force plates and all this other data and stuff that we felt we needed a second strength coach to kind of help it. And this year, just talking with our minor league guys, like, night and day difference on how much better the work was, how much better the quality of it was, and how much more they were able to talk with the coaches and, like, you know, collaborate and all of that. So ultimately, I think that's kind of where the game might end up going, especially as there's more and more emphasis on the physical side. But in the meantime, at least for us, I think it's probably more fun in the big leagues than the minor leagues, just for a lot of reasons, but definitely for those reasons of like trying to figure out how guys tick and like getting the most out of them each day.
Yeah, I will, Chris, I'll kind of tally on that is, you know, for the person wanting to get into pro ball or the person on the cusp of a major league position is, it really is about picking your battles. You know, like certain things, like we're talking about, certain things will be accomplished, certain things won't. Your response to that means everything. So I think, especially when it comes to dealing with veteran guys, sometimes less is more. And sometimes when you kind of let the leash go a little bit, sometimes it'll bring them back. It's kind of like the rubber band effect, right? So I think one of the things I learned early on as a minor league strength coach was, you know, just learning when to pick your battles and which ones to attack and which ones not to, which will really help, you know, your rapport with the athletes and coaches as well.
You can never show them that they got to you. Never show them that you're mad. Yep, always be the exactly. Same guy every day you come
that's
in.
It.
I think that's because some of them will try. I've had some yep. veterans try to get me. They can't, but once they do, they know they have you. So I say be the same guy every day.
Being the most consistent person, I can't agree more, man. It's and sometimes it's really hard. They will really, really test you just to test you. And then as soon as you break, they're like, oh, man, that was your breaking point. That's it. Like, I was just joking. You know what I mean? Like, if you've worked to build the relationship with those guys, I think every once in a while, if you do crack just a bit, like they're like, oh, all right, this guy is human. Like I was kind of concerned you were like a robot and like you just didn't have feelings. And then now I got you. So I can think of somebody very specifically within our organization that I have that kind of relationship where we're very close. And there are times where he pushes my buttons and he knows which ones to push. And like, I'll lose it. And then he'll be like, dude, come on, you're being soft. Like, I'm like, yeah, I know you got me. All right, let's get back to work now. So, but yeah, I think a lot of us have probably found that out the hard way, right? Of like the picking your battle situations. There's times that, you know, I could give you very specific examples of like where I know I made the wrong choice. And like looking back on it, I'm like, I should have just let that go. Like, I don't know what I was thinking that day or in that moment or whatever. And, you know, you learn from it, whatever. And as long as you learn from it and you realize you made a mistake and it helps you long term, I think it's fine. But yes, that's a big, 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 big bullet point there is just picking your battles and understanding which ones you really want to fight for. And then maybe specifically to you, Goldie, like going into your first year in the big leagues and then also being the director in your first year, were guys like really pushing you on things more than in previous years?
So I'll say this. This is where this comes full circle, right? So the time that you put into the minor league level, you know, the years that you put in will ultimately catch up with you in a sense that some of the guys that you've worked with at the minor league level, you'll see them at the major league level. And we'll talk about this a bit more later, but you know, it makes that transition so much easier because you've built that rapport, you've had that rapport for years. And now when it comes time to doing things at the major league level, it's not a challenge. The one thing that I will say distinctly is like, you know, certain guys, you know, guys change a little bit when they get to the major league level because of the pressure and intensity. So I will say that was one of the roadblocks that we faced was, you know, guys that, you know, were in the minor leagues, maybe not as long as others, they get to the major leagues and, you know, there's a certain amount of pressure that is on their shoulders, you know, because they're a highly touted prospect or the expectations are high to earn a spot at the major league level. So you kind of have to combat that, you know, stick your ground. And like we were talking about, you know, just be the same guy every day and they'll know that you're consistent and eventually they'll get back to their consistency as well.
How about things that were unexpected or just, you know, just different for you guys? I mean, we've already talked about the intensity of the games and we can probably hit on that more if you guys want to. But, you know, in terms of like the way guys train or just the travel schedule, just anything that going into your first year, you kind of expected it to be one way and it turned out totally different.
Yeah, I definitely say the travel. The plane flights, you know, no longer on a bus, you know, being airborne, the time change, you know, that's something that was really important to pay attention to at the major league level, especially when you're going from, you know, East Coast back to Central, from Central to the East Coast. It's like that time change really makes an impact on guys' rest and recovery. So I didn't know just how arduous it was going to be with like packing and everything else, but also monitoring the guys on a nightly basis when it comes to travel. So yeah, that was one of the things that kind of smacked me in the face.
Yeah, not that this was unexpected, but I hadn't really thought as much as far into it as I would have liked to of was like really picking your spots and around when you want to train guys, you know, like being really planning and detail oriented about what you want to accomplish and when you want to, and knowing that it all could just go to hell, honestly, and having a backup plan and making sure that you're still hitting the qualities that you want to in season, but not being stuck to, you know, the routine just because you have it on paper. And we've all done that in the minor leagues, but I hadn't given as much thought to it as I should have going into the season this year in the big leagues. And that's something that stuck out to me is like, man, I really need to plan and, you know, just have a good sense of what we're trying to accomplish and when is appropriate to achieve these things.
How about in terms of the game itself, just, you know, the length of time of games or like playing more night games on travel days or like, you know, in the minor leagues, they have an off day every week now, where in the major leagues, it's not like that. Did that affect you guys too, either personally, just, you know, your own ability to like be consistent with your training and your sleep and things like that, or just, you know, also seeing it from the player's perspective as well?
Yeah, I'd say like you realize that there's a greater priority than yourself when you get to the major league level, and that's the upkeep of every single player. So just kind of like monitoring that and managing that with, you know, if you go on a long 21 game stint, it's trying to be respective of that, making adjustments on the fly, as we talked about, knowing when and when not to do things. At the same time, you're trying to put in, you know, the bandwidth from a mental standpoint to make sure that everything is in place. You're not doing too much, but you're not doing too little. That's something that we kind of toggled with. And then, you know, when you're doing that for 3 weeks straight before you get an off day, you know, it becomes tough, right? So, you know, for personally, you know, it's something you got to pay attention to, because at the same time you're looking into taking care of the players, you forget to take care of yourself sometimes, because the bandwidth of getting on to the computer, pulling out objective data to understand when and when not to do certain things, you know, you become stretched. So that's one thing I would say, you know, pay attention to in that regard.
Yeah, for me, I think, you know, we were lucky enough to have a bunch of, you know, just crazy atmosphere, electric, fun games. And I hadn't experienced that in a while. And I don't think you guys probably did in the minor leagues either. And just the toll it takes on you, and you're not even playing, just, you know, the energy, the nervous energy, and just the excitement and overall everything that's going on. I think once you're there and like the first couple of games, I was trying to take it all in and, you know, just kind of soak up all the funness and energy and stuff. And I think like for me, like I never thought about that part either. Like some of this, it can still be fun. You know, it's not just a grind on field six and, you know, in the summer in GCL. Like that part was cool. And to touch on another point that Goldie made was you got to take care of yourself first. So for me, I knew I needed to go home, get in bed, and make sure I got a good lift in the morning. And if I can take care of myself, then I know I can take care of the other guys as well.
Yeah, I'm there with you guys. I think for me, my own physical health is connected to my mental health as well. And just knowing that every day I can get up, do some sort of conditioning, some sort of lift, and then also like connecting with, you know, some of our coaching staff just daily to go work out, right? To go train. And like, sometimes it's something as stupid as just like doing buys and tries, you know, but like getting involved with them and then like having some conversations very casually with them and then grabbing a coffee or a breakfast sandwich or whatever, like the lack of sleep that I may get, you know, I may have one less hour of sleep, but that hour goes to, you know, training and having breakfast and having productive conversations. For me, that was a really good way of just kind of finding that balance while I could on the road. And then, you know, being at home, like my wife and my dog are here, and just, you know, sometimes that extra hour of sleep is really beneficial, but sometimes just waking up and spending some time with them is better just for my own mental health and for the relationship as well. And it's hard to find that balance when you play, you know, 4 hour games every night, and especially in the AL East, just the intensity of those games and just, you know, you got a long travel and, you know, before you know it, it's like 5 in the morning. You just want to go to sleep and never wake up, you know, or wake up like right before the bus. But you're like, no, I need to get up. I need to take care of myself and really do this the right way. And, you know, I think, again, it goes back to us saying like trying to be consistent in who you are each day. And I think a lot of that is just the physical work that we put in on ourselves as well. And, you know, taking care of our physical health, our mental health, so that we can be there for those players, right? If we're not taking care of ourselves, we come in, we're a little bit off, right? Like we're just, you know, we miss one detail here, something else there. And then the guy's like, are you all right today? Like, is something going on? Like, yeah, you know, I didn't train. I haven't trained in a week or whatever. They're like, whoa, like, you're telling us to train and you're not taking care of yourself. Like, get it together, buddy. What are you doing here? So all really good points there. And I think, again, for me, like the biggest thing was like just the magnitude of every game was just so much more. And again, you get lost sometimes in like that grind of just, I got to get this guy ready to go. I got to get that guy ready to go. And then, you know, somebody doesn't play well and you feel that, right? Like you're not even playing, but you both put so much work in. And sometimes the fans only see what's on the field, right? Where we know what that guy's been doing all day, right? He lifted, he ran, he threw a bullpen, he's working on mechanics, he's talking with the pitching coaches, he's watching video. And then he goes out and he gives up 2 runs in the seventh and all of a sudden you lose the game. You know what I mean? Like we see all of that. And I feel that even though we're not playing, and the next day you come in and you have to check in on that guy. Like, hey man, are you all right? Like, I know the results weren't there, but the work was there. Like you just got to keep going. So it's a really fine balance. And I think the intensity of the game and the media really does have an effect on those guys, whether they want to admit it or not. And I think for us, it's beneficial to just be there for them sometimes. And it's not even the training. It's just being, you know, somebody for them to lean on when they need it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I think you brought up a really good point is, you know, going home to like your spouse and your animals and stuff like that. Like you can really get lost in work and neglect like your home life. So I would say for those, you know, thinking and willing to entertain, you know, either a minor league job or a major league job is just understand the strain that, you know, this can potentially have on your personal life and your relationships at home, because you are at the field more than you are at home. You're traveling weekly, you're gone for 6-7 days at a time, and that stress and strain, you know, of what you're going through as a strength coach can also seep into your personal life. So that's something to consider before, you know, getting into professional baseball, because it is a grind.
Yeah, I'm thinking just about perspective, you know. So like it's August and it's been a long year. You may not have had a day off and you kind of got the ass a little bit and you're pulling up to the field and you're just a little bit cranky. And I mean, this happened to me and I had to step back and like, yo, dude, you finally made it to where you wanted to be. You know, for the time being, you work with professional baseball players. You're in the weight room in shorts and a t-shirt. Like perspective is everything. So if you allow yourself to, you know, step back and take a look at the wider picture, I think it's important to do as far as self-reflection and, you know, staying locked in for the season.
Yeah, I had this talk the other day with somebody, and just, you know, especially for me, like going to Fenway Park, no offense, but it's like extra historic, right? Like there's just that little extra bit. And like, I have plenty of friends who would, you know, trade anything to just have the opportunity to be here, even with, you know, within our minor league system back home. Just, you know, there's a lot of people that would really love to be a strength and condition coach in the major leagues. And then especially, you know, with the Boston Red Sox. And so every time I go into Fenway, I really try to not take it for granted and just have that perspective you're talking about. And it is difficult sometimes, right? The team's struggling, you're feeling it, that you played 3 weeks in a row, the only off day you had to fly, you know, 5-hour flight or whatever it is. And like, but the reality is, again, I couldn't agree more with you, is like, you just hit it right on the head there. It's like, if you take that step back and really understand, like, man, this is a good life. And then the other thing is, like, at some point, this is going to be taken away from all of us, right? Like, whether it's of our own decision or somebody else's decision, like, this isn't a forever job, right? And so for us, like, you got to enjoy it while you can. You got to work your ass off while you can. And when the time comes, you can't have any regrets, right? You can't look back and say, man, if I would have just did this a little bit better with this guy, or if I would have just focused a little bit more here, like maybe they would have kept me around. Like, no, go out like, hey man, I gave it my all and that was it. My time's up. So it's a hard perspective to take sometimes. And again, in the heat of the battle, and you know, you're on game 150, like sometimes it's hard to see. But if you take that step back and really take the time to appreciate it, and like you said, Tanner, you've come all the way from the GCL. Goldie, I know that, I mean, you were a player at one point, and like, this is everybody's dream, right? To be in the big league. So it's something that, like, we've been kind of like talking about the bad stuff. And so I want to transition into the good stuff. Like, what has been the best part of the job so far for you guys? Like, now it's time to like talk the big leagues up a little.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think we talk about everything coming full circle. I think it's, you know, seeing the guys that are homegrown make it to the major leagues and be successful at the major league level. There's nothing more gratifying than seeing a guy that paved the way essentially with you, you know, starting at the base level, and then you reconnect at the major league level and they do something special, and you just realize all the time and all the work and energy that this individual has put in to get to this level. And then they do something really cool, you know, like have a three homer game or something like that. And you just realize how special it is and how much work, everything that went into that moment to get there. There's nothing more gratifying, at least from a strength coach perspective, in my opinion.
Glad you went that way with it, Goldie, so I can take it the other way. You know, obviously it's the show, the travel's better, the food is better, the weight rooms are better, the away gyms are better, hotels, if I didn't say hotels already, all that stuff is better. And I do think it is cool though, the amount of emphasis that is put, you know, into the weight room, for example. Like, budgets are much bigger. If you need something, generally you get it. And I think baseball is really starting, or it already has, but I think strength and conditioning is just huge in baseball, and players, front office, you know, everybody's starting to understand the impact that we can have and do have. And, you know, to see that at the big league level with, you know, all the gear and gadgets and all the great equipment, it's pretty cool.
I'll agree with both of you. I have some of the guys that I had even in double A my first year in the Red Sox organization are in the big leagues now, and they're thriving, they're getting paid. And like, for me, it's great to see, you know, they're young kids and they grow up, they get their money, they can take care of their families. They're, you know, putting on big moments in the big league. So I can definitely appreciate that side, Goldie. And then even to the point that, you know, we share the complex in spring training, major league and minor league. So, you know, I like to go over to the minor league side and just talk with some of the kids there and talk with our strength coaches there. And it's the same on the strength staff side too, right? Like, seeing some of those guys that just move up the system and then they go on to the big leagues, or they go on to, you know, big college jobs or whatever it is, and keeping in touch with them. Like, for me, it is really gratifying to see people's path to the big leagues and people's progression over the years and how they grow and develop and all of that. Because we're all there, right? Like, we've all been, you know, I started in the Appy League and work my way. And so I can think about many, many times in the Appy Leagues where I was just like, what is this, right? And now, to Tanner's point, right? Like, everything is that much better in the big leagues, right? You're sitting in the hotel in Chicago and you're like, man, we were in some really sketchy hotels in the Appy League, or, you know, even in the Eastern League, the IL, right? Like, so you have to appreciate both sides, right? Like, it is beneficial. It is really cool to see the players, but at the same time, like, you have to appreciate your own hard work, your own consistency, and your own, you know, journey to get there. And I think sometimes, like, it's okay to pat yourself on the shoulder and, you know, appreciate the work that you've done and all the things that you've put into getting to that spot. But like we talked about earlier, it can get taken away. So you don't want to, you know, get arrogant about it, cocky about it, right? Like, there's a time and a place to appreciate, and there's a time and a place to like reflect on how you can get better. And I think both of those are really, really valuable. But again, that everything is better, right? Anybody that's in the minor leagues that has ambitions to get to the big leagues, whether I tell people this all the time, whether it takes you 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, like, it's always going to be worth it whenever you do get there, always. Like, it's that much better. So, you know, humble brag from all of us. And again, that's not to say this can't get taken away as soon as this call gets recorded or released, but in the meantime, we definitely have all earned it. Is there anything that you guys wish you would have known ahead of time? Really, the goal here is just, you know, provide information in case there are people who are seriously ambitious about getting to the big leagues that just may not understand what's going on, or, you know, just giving them a look behind the curtain, so to speak.
If I had like a piece of advice, I'd say, or a piece of information that I wish I had known, is that, you know, patience is everything. You know, timing is everything, and everything happens for a reason. And just understand that, you know, hold faithful and true to that, and everything will happen the way it's supposed to. I know we get caught up, especially, you know, being in the minor leagues, and, you know, we talked about the terrible hotels, the terrible spreads and things like that. And you wish nothing more than to get to the major league level. But just realize that you're in a specific spot, a specific place for a specific reason, and let timing take care of everything.
Yeah, I think when you're on the outside looking in, like we all have been for a while now, you kind of look at, you know, the big leagues, you know, we kind of put it up on a pedestal, right? Like it's this holy grail, this thing that we're trying to achieve, and you don't know a whole lot about it. And when reality, when you get there, you know, you meet tons of just great people willing to talk and are friendly and share their experiences. And, you know, if I was somebody that was on the outside looking in, I would just try and reach out, you know, just try and start a few conversations and emails if you can, or, you know, generally most people are friendly and they want to help if they can. It's not necessarily like a hush hush thing. Like people are generally excited and willing to help. And then some advice, this was actually given to me by somebody, but they asked, you know, I was in AAA at the time, and they asked if I was a big league strength coach. And I said, well, no, but I can be. He said, well, why aren't you? Well, I said, you know, haven't got the opportunity yet. He says, well, if you treat every day like you are a big league, major league strength coach, then one day it will resonate and you will become one. So that can be applied in other aspects of life as well. If you're in the minor leagues, you're not in baseball, you're in college, high school, whatever. If you treat that position that you're in like you are a big leaguer, eventually you will become one.
Yeah, I love that from both of you guys. I think that was something I was told early on in my career, is like, think about the next position that you want, plan and make all your actions like geared towards that, all your decisions geared toward that, but also be where your feet are, right? Like the way to get to the big leagues as a minor leaguer is to do really well at your job, but also like have the foresight and the vision to see where you want to go, right? Like you have to live for today, but you also have to understand that you need to make a plan for the future, right? And if you carry yourself like you are a big league strength coach, and you know, whatever that looks like to you, whether that's small details and focusing on that, whether it's communicating with the baseball staff, whether it's finding some sort of unique thing within the strength training, whatever it is, like don't have your head in the clouds so much that you get lost in that picture and that dream for yourself. And do your job really, really well where you're at. I can't agree with you guys more. You know, Goldie, you talk about just when the time comes, it'll fall into place, right? And I think by doing your job really well and by planning for the future, whenever that opportunity comes, you'll be as prepared as you can be. Nobody's ever 100% prepared for that next step, right? There's just things we don't know. But if you plan accordingly, you'll be as ready as possible. And then when you get there, you'll make your mistakes. You learn from your mistakes, but your mistakes will be much fewer if you're preparing yourself and you're holding yourself to a higher standard earlier on. At least I think so. So couldn't agree with both of you guys more. I really appreciate all your insights and, you know, kind of just pulling the curtain back a little bit on what the big leagues is. And before we sign off, I just want to make sure that I let you guys have the floor one last time. If there's any closing remarks you have or anything that we missed, like, floor is yours, guys.
Nah, I think that's about it, man. I really appreciate you having us, Chris. This is awesome, man. Anytime we can put our foot forward to kind of pay it forward and let everybody know what it's about so they can get an inside scoop, I think it not only helps on an individual level, but, you know, for our society. So, you know, definitely honored and grateful for the opportunity to share my thoughts here.
100% grateful to both of you guys, you know, just to have met you guys, you know, in the past and to continue to do this kind of stuff. And Chris, for the work you do with the PBSCCS and getting this stuff out there, I think that's really good content. So good luck to you guys this year, man. Wish you nothing but the best.
Appreciate it. Well, we'll definitely be seeing you guys this year, and good luck. We'll talk soon.
All right, everybody, that's going to conclude our episode with Tanner and Goldie. I hope you enjoyed this one. It's always good to talk about, you know, being a major league strength coach and just giving some insight into, you know, what a day looks like, what the year looks like, and especially hearing from these guys being in their first year, just some of the things that were unexpected, some of the things that were more difficult than they anticipated, and, you know, all the lessons that they learned in the year. So three things that I took from the guys in this episode: having a solid why will help you with buy-in with your players, regardless of the level you're working at. Relationships with both players and coaches will help you be successful, and being able to appropriately pick your battles will help you with building rapport. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.